to everyone. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Truly he is risen. Alleluia. At this time of the church's year, we celebrate the great gift of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And the Easter season begins with the celebration of what is called the Great Vigil of Easter, where we have the symbolism of the Easter fire and the candles that are lit from this Easter fire, and the Easter candle, the Paschal candle, symbolizing the light of Christ. And this liturgy of the Easter Vigil always begins in the deep dark of night. And it signifies that the light of Christ pierces the darkness, something that we need to come to understand again and again. I remember early on Holy Saturday morning, some of my friends who were in the Philippines were posting pictures of their Easter Vigil and the Easter fire. And I was like thinking to myself, wow, they're already celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And over where I was, I felt like we were running to the tomb on the way to meet our friends there who had already witnessed the resurrection. It's amazing to think about all across the globe, this gift, this great gift of the resurrection of Christ from the dead is celebrated by so many people in their churches. And last night at our Easter Vigil Mass, we welcomed in our parish 10 adults into the Catholic Church with our program or our process of leading adults to come to know the teachings of the church and to live by them and receive the sacraments. We had two people who were from the Congregational Church, and then we had someone from the Presbyterian Church, and then we had someone who was baptized and also received confirmation and Holy Communion, and we had several others who had been baptized Catholics when they were younger but now wanted to receive the sacraments of confirmation and Holy Communion. And I've been preparing a group of these adults for the past year in some classes I've been conducting for them. And the book that I used was the Compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And that's a book that was put out by Pope Benedict XVI about 12 years ago in 2005. And to me, it's one of the best, most down-to-earth, easy to read presentations of the Catholic faith. And it's a catechism that's not watered down. It's faithful to the fullness of truth. It's called the Compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Now you have to read it, because you don't want newly baptized and confirmed Catholics who were received into the church last night to know more about the Catholic faith than you do. So you got to read it so you can keep up with them. But you know, it was a real inspiration to see these people come into the church. And in our archdiocese, we had something around 500 adults came into the Catholic Church on the Easter Vigil Mass. It's really inspiring because you see people who are outside of the Catholic Church and they look at Catholicism and at some point they say, I want this. It helps to remind us who are Catholic that we have a great treasure in our Catholic religion. We need to love it as much as they do. The Easter Vigil celebrates the gift of the light of Jesus Christ. As that Easter candle is brought into the church, the song is sung, the light of Christ, thanks be to God. And throughout the Easter season, the Paschal candle is kept lit during our masses in the church. And yet, as much as we celebrate the light of Christ, there actually is a real battle against the light of Christ. Think about how that liturgy begins in the darkness. It's as if the darkness wants to fight that light. When we celebrated Holy Week, we had those 3 days of the Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the Great Vigil of Easter, and culminating on Easter Sunday. And on Holy Thursday, Jesus gave us the gift of the Holy Eucharist, the greatest gift that God could or would ever give to us, the gift of the body, the blood, the soul and divinity of his divine Son, Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Pope John Paul the Great referred to the Eucharist as a mystery of light. And he would say that light is streaming forth from the Eucharist. Because Christ, who is the light of the world, is truly present in the Eucharist. The light of the world is really and substantially and truly present in the Holy Eucharist. And so it is a mystery of light. But at that Last Supper, when Jesus was gifting us with this great gift of light, this heavenly light, there was a battle against that light. The power of darkness was actually present at the Last Supper. Even there at the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus was giving us this great gift, there's an attack against his light. Judas Iscariot was there, the one who would betray him. And the Bible says that the devil entered Judas during the Last Supper. And Jesus, our Lord, refers to the devil as the prince of darkness. And from that moment on, Judas the betrayer began his efforts to betray Jesus, to fight against the light of Christ of the Eucharist and the light of Christ of his holy teaching in the gospel. That very same night where this mystery of light, this powerful mystery of light, was given to us in the Eucharist, many of the priests, the Pharisees and the scribes, who on the outside had the exterior appearance to be servants of God, but within were far from God. They had been corrupted by their own sins and their refusal to repent. They would conspire against the light of Christ. The battle of the spirit of darkness was against the light of Christ, even then on Holy Thursday. And then on Good Friday, the darkness seemed to sort of increase its power. It seemed that it spread its influence among more and more people. The spirit of evil enjoyed a greater influence among the corrupt and fake religious leaders down at that time, and also with the corrupt politicians in the Roman Empire, both of whom conspired together in this loose bond of a sinful relationship to see to it that the light of Christ would be punished, that the light of Christ would be punished because of his teaching and because of his witness to the presence of God, Emmanuel, and that this light would be crucified. On the Fridays of Lent, in many churches, we had the practice of making the Stations of the Cross. And as you go from station to station, one of the things you start to perceive is the power of darkness against Christ. It's as if that darkness is so dramatic, so powerful, against the light of Jesus Christ, the Lord. And then, on the Vigil of Easter, and on Easter Sunday, which really is one kind of celebration, we perceive and we meditate and enter into this truth. The one who said, "I am the light of the world," has been enveloped in the darkness of death. That whole day of Holy Saturday is a day when we meditate on the fact that the King of Glory has died. Here is one who bore witness to the truth of the Father, and he had been bullied out of this life, done away with by those who loved the darkness of sin and false doctrine more than they loved Jesus. In fact, they hated Jesus and his word. But even then, even as he was in the tomb, dead, Jesus Christ remained and remains the Son of God, consubstantial with the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. And on this day, when this light of Christ is enshrouded in the darkness of evil, of sin and death, which conspire together to snuff out his light, he rises from the dead. He rises from the dead and he's alive. Very early in the morning on that Easter Sunday, he's alive. He rises from the dead and his light is shining. All across the earth, the light of the Easter candle, which was first lit in the deep dark of night, signifies the truth that the light of Christ is stronger than the darkness of evil, sin, and death. In fact, it's more real. If you went to the Easter Vigil or in any experience of light, when you turn on a light in the midst of darkness, the light is stronger. Only one candle was necessary in a dark church to provide some light for the people. And so, the celebration of Easter Sunday gives us this great joy that once again we come to perceive that the light of Christ is victorious over sin, over death, and over evil. Is victorious even today over the power of darkness, which as real as it is, and as strong as it is not as strong as the light of Christ. And the Easter celebration gives us this great joy, but also a responsibility. It's not enough just to celebrate Easter, but we need to allow it to touch our hearts and move us to something. In the church on the Easter Vigil, many people held their little candles, which were lit from that Easter fire. And another thing that reminds us of is the light of Christ that was given to our soul at baptism. When we were baptized, our parents or godparents were given a little candle to symbolize the light of Christ in our soul. And so the first responsibility that the celebration of Easter brings to us or charges us with is we need to hold on to the light of Christ in our soul. We have to hold on to that light. How do we do that? By holiness of life. Holiness of life. That has to be our lifestyle, our priority, holiness of life. In other words, we've got to turn away from our sins. We cannot go down the spiritual path of darkness. If we were to say that sin doesn't matter and we don't need to be holy, we can sin all we want, since God is so merciful, He doesn't really care about our sins, we can just keep sinning on and on and on, then when we hold that light of Christ symbolically in the Easter candle or in our baptism candle, it's really meaningless. We're not really holding on to the light of Christ interiorly. We hold on to it on the outside, but not on the inside. We have to live holiness of life. We got to hold on to that light of Christ within our soul. If we've lost it, we got to repent of our sins and begin again. There was a great Spanish nun named Saint Teresa of Avila, and she said this: our security lies in obedience and refusal to deviate from God's law. When we think of the light shining in the darkness, that gives us a sense of security. If there's only darkness, we have a sense of fear. But the light is not the light of a physical light, but it's the light within our soul of Jesus Christ, that holiness of life that enables us to feel really secure, to feel that everything is okay, that we can make our way through life on a good path. That light is what we need to hold on to in our soul, the light of Christ. The next responsibility is we have to live by the light of truth. That is Jesus Himself. We need to know His teaching in the Holy Gospels and the teachings of the Catholic Church. St. Paul said that one of the greatest threats to our relationship to the Lord Jesus is what he called the wind of false doctrine. The wind of false doctrine. Think about that Easter candle or any candle, that light. When you take it outside, the wind is going to try to blow it out and probably will. Well, it's a symbol of the light of Christ in our soul. Out in the world, even on the internet, there's all kinds of false doctrines. False doctrines about the mystery of God and His existence. False doctrines about who Jesus is and what the meaning of His words are in the gospel. False doctrines about spirituality. False doctrines about morality. We don't want to live by false doctrines, but we must live by the bright light of truth, who is Jesus Christ Himself. There was a great French bishop named Saint Francis de Sales, and he said this about the light of Jesus: Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and therefore it is in Him and by Him and for Him that we must be instructed and enlightened. So we have to be instructed by truth. And finally, the third responsibility that Easter gives to us is we need to share the light of Christ with others. At the Easter Vigil Mass, a handful of people take the flame from the Easter candle and then they share it to all the other people in the church, and eventually the whole church is lit up with these candles. And that is a symbol that we have to share Christ with others. We have to speak the fullness of truth in love, even if it challenges others. We need to do good acts to others and teach people to have hope. Sometimes when we think about the need to evangelize the world, which is more pressing today than it ever was, it really is, we often say, well, let's wait for the bishops to give us a program that we can follow, or wait for the Vatican to institute some new program. No, we have the missionary mandate now. You've been baptized and confirmed. You are the person who has to find some way to lead others to Christ, to lead them to know His truth and His love and His mercy. There are people in your life that perhaps only you will encounter, and perhaps you are the only instrument that God is going to use to lead others to Christ. people are hungering for Christ. You know, we often say that one of the worst things in life is to lose hope. You know, when you've lost hope, when you feel there's nothing good to look forward to, when you feel that life has no value, you're in big trouble. Well, people who have lost hope need to turn to Christ, because Christ is our hope. So think about this. All of the people who witnessed Christ in his resurrection, immediately, or if not immediately, very soon thereafter, became missionaries. They went. They didn't wait for some program. They just received the Holy Spirit. They were on fire for the Word of God, and they led people to Christ. And I wouldn't be preaching this message right now if it weren't for those people who did that. That's got to be you. You have to know the gospel. You've got to know the Catholic faith and teach it to others. Christ is risen. Alleluia. And has become our hope. Jesus Christ is the world's realistic, in fact, only true and realistic hope. His light is now our guide, our beacon, our star, by which we navigate through all the darknesses of this world and of this life's journey. Today, on Easter Sunday, and in this time of the Easter season, we renew our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Truly, he is risen. Alleluia. And he loves you. He loves you very much. God bless you, and happy Easter.